The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, March 11, 2015. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chet Chesko. Chet, holy cow, what a week. What a week in Eagles football. We're going to have trouble even figuring out where to start tonight.
Yeah, one of the craziest weeks I can remember in my many, many decades of watching and rooting for this team, Bill, and a week that has a lot of the faithful backing away from their "in Chip we trust" stance maintained previously. I'd say we have lots to talk about on this week's show, that's for sure.
Well, before we try to make sense of all the craziness from the NovaCare Center, let's get our Eagles trivia question out there for our listeners to win the 8x10 color photo signed by both John Runyon and Trey Thomas, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, PA, to the first person that calls in and correctly answers the question. And, Chad, I'm going to tell you, you know, we're probably dealing with a $50, $60 photograph here, and this question's a little tougher than some of the others, but I think you'll come up with it. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. As we know, Nick Foles was selected in the third round of the 2012 draft. How many Eagles have thrown passes in his 3 years, including Foles? Now, this number comes from the official Eagles statistics. So the question again, Nick Foles was selected in the third round of the 2012 draft. How many Eagles have thrown passes in his 3 years? And I will tell you, it's not a trick question as far as a punter or a kicker or anybody like that. So that's your question. Okay?
Okay, yeah. Not an easy one, that's for sure.
What's that?
Not an easy one, that's for sure.
Well, if you think back, you can get it. There's a little trick in there, but if you think back, you can get it. Okay?
Yep.
Our call-in number to answer the trivia question is 929-477-2855. Our shopforkisses.org phone line will be open throughout the show. It's the same number, 929-477-2855. So feel free to give us a call. We want to hear your take on all the Eagles' moves. So, Chet, let's get this thing going. And what I want to do to you right off the bat, we'll do this together. And just for our listeners, we have not rehearsed this. We haven't talked about it. We're going to do it right off the cuff ourselves. So
yeah, we don't believe in rehearsal.
What I want to do is I want to go down the list of the 13 moves that the Eagles have made so far, and I want to give it a good or a bad, without any details, without any comments, just a good or bad. Then we'll see how we scored that. Then we'll come back and we'll delve into them from there. How's that sound?
Okay. Now, that sounds pretty tough, though, because, you know, one move is sometimes predicated on another move, et cetera, but I'll give it a shot.
Okay, here we go. Release tight end James Casey. Good, bad?
That's good. I'm fine with that.
So am I. Okay, released guard Todd Hermans.
Getting up in age, good.
I am going to say good as well, reluctantly, and I would comment.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and he had a good career, but he was injured two of the last three seasons. I'm okay with the move.
Yeah, well, and I like continuity on the offensive line, so I kind of hate to lose him, but I get it.
Right. Yep.
Okay, how about sign linebacker Brad Jones to a two-year contract?
Brad Jones? I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it's a Green Bay Packers guy that we signed on the 2nd of March.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I forgot his name. Yeah, Brad Jones. He led the team in tackles last year, if I remember. They could always use help at linebacker. So, yeah, good move.
I'm going to say okay, too, for depth purposes.
Yeah.
about released linebacker Trent Cole?
Believe it or not, I'm going to say good. He was still productive, but, you know, he was getting up there in years, and he would have commanded a fairly significant salary for a guy his age, so I'm going to say good move.
I am going to say not a good move, but only on a short-term basis. As you know, I wasn't in love with Cole being a linebacker to begin with.
Right.
But based on some other things that happened, I'm going to say bad.
Okay.
Okay. Released cornerback Kerry Williams.
Come on now. Good move.
Good move. I am going to say bad.
Wow.
I am going to say bad, and I'm not a fan of Kerry Williams, but I'm not sure we upgraded there. We'll talk about that as we go along here a little bit.
Yep.
Agreed with terms with linebacker Brandon Graham on a 4-year deal.
Oh, I know what you're going to say on this, but I'm going to say good.
I am going to say absolutely insane.
How did I know that?
No. which brings me back to the Trent Cole deal. If I was going to sign Brandon Graham to 4 years, I'd have kept Trent Cole for one at least. So
okay.
They kind of tie together for me. All right, next up.
Yep.
Eagles acquire linebacker Kiko Alonso from the Buffalo Bills in exchange for LeSean McCoy.
Oh, boy. That is the tough one right there. I have to say bad on that one. I don't hate the move. I'll talk more about that as we go along. I don't hate the move, but on the surface, I'm going to have to say bad move.
I am too. Only because you're dealing with a guy who's one of the top 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, running backs in the league. Alonso is supposed to be the real deal, but only played 1 year in the league. He's banged up. We'll see. I'm saying bad for now.
Okay.
I get the salary cap part, but I'm not into that.
Exactly.
Okay, yep. Here we go. Next up. Eagles acquire quarterback Sam Bradford and a 2015 fifth-round pick from St. Louis in exchange for quarterback Nick Foles, a 2015 fourth-round pick, and a 2016 second-round pick. You good or you
well,
bad?
That's the one I think is insane. Bad move.
I have to agree. Okay. Agree to terms with quarterback Byron Maxwell on a 6-year deal.
They probably overpaid for the guy who was probably helped by the fact that he played in the Seattle secondary, made him look better than he was. But, I mean, clearly the Eagles needed help back there, so I got to say good move.
I am going to say good move as well. I agree with you, but he was their target. They went after him. Maybe they paid too much, but they got the guy they wanted. I'm good with it.
Yep.
Okay. Sign quarterback Mark Sanchez to a 2-year contract.
I'm okay with that. Sanchez is the backup. I'm okay. Don't want him to compete for the starting job, but as a backup, he's fine. Good.
I think I'll agree with you just for that reason, too.
Okay.
If they make it a competition or if Bradford is still around, which we'll get to that, I'm not so sure. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how about agreed to terms with cornerback Walter Thurman on a 1-year deal?
Who knows anything about this guy other than he missed 14 out of the 16 games this past season? It's borderline, but I have to say good just because they need some help in the secondary. So, yeah, good.
I'm going to say not good, and I'm only going to turn that back down to the Kerry Williams deal. I'm not sure we upgraded that with Thurman, if that was our intention to get rid of Williams and replace him with Thurman. Thurman did play for Seattle in the Super Bowl, took a 1-year
right.
deal with the Giants, and then got hurt. So I don't really know enough about him, but I'm not thinking that he's an upgrade to Williams, which was the reason I said no on Williams. So,
gotcha.
I'll go with that. Okay, next up, sign running back Ryan Matthews today.
Not crazy about it. It could work out, and we'll talk about that, but for now I'm going to say bad.
Me too, because I think the whole committee of running backs that they have does not match the running back that they let go. So I'm going to go with a no on that for now as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the 13th and final move, they lost Jeremy Maclin.
Oh, man, that's the killer. That is way beyond bad. That is horrible. That should not have happened. Bad, bad, bad move.
I agree. Well, so what we got is you were in agreement with 9 of 13. I'm in agreement with only 5 of 13. And mine have some caveats to them. So I could probably be swayed a little bit on a few of those. But my gut feeling is I'm 5 for 13.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I went 9, but a couple of mine were iffy. So there's certainly a lot to debate, and we could debate a lot of those. So let's get started.
Okay. Well, here you go. We're going to put you right on the hot seat that you like to put people on. And I'm going to say to you, take a look at this list of 13. What is the biggest move that you want to talk about? What's the one that is really under your skin or above your skin that you're happy about, you're thrilled about? What's the biggest move they've made?
All right. Let me just preface it by a little history here. When we got word last week that Shady McCoy was going to be traded to Buffalo, I was a bit surprised but not shocked. I sort of got it, though. Running back's value isn't what it used to be. He was starting to get into that high mileage area. He was due a lot of money, so, yeah, the money plays into it. It's supposedly a deep draft for running backs. Kiko Alonso, if he can stay healthy, is a pretty good linebacker. We hope that he does stay healthy. So I got it. I was okay with it on that aspect of it. I was even okay with re-signing Mark Sanchez as the backup quarterback. But I'll tell you, since Sunday night, I've been disappointed in much of the Eagles news. And mainly the one that really bugged me was not re-signing Jeremy Maclin. It leaves a major void at wide receiver. I mean, yeah, the Frank Gore deal fell through, but who knows, that could end up being a blessing in disguise. He'll be 32 this spring and may not have a lot left anyway. But, yeah, Maclin, that just really bothered me. I mean, who do we have now at wide receiver? Well, you know who we have. We have Riley Cooper and Josh Huff and Jordan Matthews, Jeff Mail, if you want to throw him in. So I'm just shocked that they let Maclin go over, you know, $1 million or $2. And not just because he was one of my go-to Eagles jerseys that I would wear when watching the games. I'm really sorry to see the Maclin events turn out the way they did.
Well, I 100% agree with you. I thought Maclin was on the top of the list of things to get done because he was already ours. Of course, that was before all these trades took place and all that. But I think this trade for Nick Foles and Sam Bradford, I am stunned. I am just absolutely stunned. Now, you know, I think obviously, you know, Chip did his press conference earlier today, which we'll talk a little bit about later on as well. But, you know, he makes it sound like Bradford was his target all along and that he's the guy. And I just cannot believe that for one second. I just don't get it. But then I also think if he's not the guy, we've given up an awful lot by throwing in that second round pick. And I think straight up Nick Foles is a better quarterback than Sam Bradford. And Sam Bradford's got a couple knee surgeries behind him. He's had some shoulder problems. And I just have trouble figuring this one out.
Oh, I don't get it at all. I mean, when the trade was first happening, you texted me about it. And there were those reports that said we were getting their 10th pick in the draft, first round number 10 pick, and the Eagles would give up their 20. And I thought, oh, okay, great. I see what they're doing here. They're moving up closer to the top of the draft pack so they could maybe get Mariota. I was kind of okay with that. But then when we found out an hour or so later that wasn't the case, and we were actually giving up more in the swap of draft picks, I didn't get it at all. I mean, yeah, look at the numbers. Foles' numbers are way better. You got to factor in the injuries. Yeah, Foles has had his problems too, but Bradford coming off not one but two torn ACLs. He also had a shoulder problem back in college. And besides his, you know, pretty solid rookie year in 2010, the guy hasn't had a lot of success in even staying on the field. Plus, his numbers aren't that good. He's generally 60% or below in completion percentage. His passer rating is 76 to 85 most years. He hit 90 very barely 2 years. So nothing great in terms of numbers, and he's not even like that much more fleet of foot than Nick Foles either. So, I mean, everybody thought we wanted a Mariota type to run this offense. Well, boy, Sam Bradford is not that guy. So, like you, Bill, I just didn't get it at all, and I am not happy.
Okay. Well, hey, let's get back to that. We have a caller. Let's take the caller right quick, and I still have a comment about these all 13 moves we've made. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Bill. Jim.
Hey,
Francisco.
Is this Mark?
Yes, it's Mark. How are you?
Sounds good, Mark. How are you doing, Mark?
Okay, I never know what I'm on. That's weird. You sit back and I hear listening to you guys talk, and then I hear a hello, and I'm thinking it might be another caller. I said, that's it. Listen, I may be the next oldest outside of Kool-Aid that calls you tonight. To that point, I have a little ranting I want to come out with. Jim Tetesco, you're the movie expert. You remember the movie Weird Science? All right, that's what it's coming up to right now. What I feel like it's going on. This is a period of time. You two are a little bit younger and probably didn't live it. I was going through it, and Bob Sullivan, a shout-out to you, and John Roberts and a couple of other Facebook buddies. Believe me, we talked about this in barbershops and corner stores, and my grandfather was talking about Sonny Jurgensen and Norm Snead trade, okay, back in the real early 60s. And that was equivalent at that particular time as the TV show Ozzy and Harriet having a fight on their episode, okay? It was a whole different era, but this nonsense that's going on here right now, this 58-year fan is just bewildered. You know, it's bad enough we're going through the Phillies turmoil, the Flyers turmoil, and the Sixers turmoil. But we had a team here that was really knocking on the door, legitimately knocking on the door. We had upgraded this defense with maybe five moves, okay, and strengthened it that way. You know, Nick Foles would have had a chance to get us into the playoffs and deep. I mean, I strongly believe that. I mean, I really do. And, you know, I listen to some of these things. Now, there's one move that a friend of mine has given me some information, and it looks like there's a possibility it could happen to DeMarco Murray, and nobody's mentioned it yet. Now, if they add him, you know, and spend the money, and they're talking $7 to $8 million is what's being run about. If they do add him into the equation with Matthews and Sproles, then I think maybe the running back situation is as strong as it was last year, okay? Of course, it leaves Polk as an odd man out, all right? And he's a young kid. I know he's got an unrestricted offer, but you may want to think about if he's signing that tender sheet offer. You may be able to treat him. I don't know to that point. But it's kind of interesting, the moves that they have made so far. My question, I guess, to both of you guys, and you can relay this off. Do you think we've upgraded from last year right now? All right?
Yeah, one word, no. Definitely not.
Well, you know, Mark, I'm glad you mentioned that because I said right when I was bringing you on that I wanted to get back to these 13 moves, and that's exactly what I wanted to talk about. You know, I think if you go through this list, and you look at the guys that are coming in to replace the guys that are leaving, I don't know that hopefully other than Maxwell, I don't see great improvement anywhere. I mean, they still have holes. No, they still have major holes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and a lot more holes than we started out with. But that's the thing that puzzles me the most. I mean, you guys would probably agree with me that when we went into this period, we were looking definitely to improve the secondary. I don't think there was any question about that. All right, we still need a safety. And let me tell you, Macklin, I can't say enough. That was critical. That was just critical. Not signing, re-signing him, you know, really right now gives you Jordan Matthews as the leading receiver. Okay, And boy, I don't know who's out there. I mean, even if you go to the draft and you eliminate the Mariota sequence, who knows what the Chip Science is thinking right now. I don't know to believe him yet or not. If you don't go for Mariota, look, that Kevin White would be a nice guy to be available, no question. But how to go up to get him, he'd be a nice rookie addition. But, whoever is a quarterback, you still need somebody to throw to in this system. And even if you are able to get Murray and upgrade the running back scenario, I don't know what – you guys can throw out some possible areas of wide receiver that are still available. I know Crabtree is one and to that point. But, maybe you guys throw some dirt on the fire because I'm baffled. I'm really baffled.
Mark, let me address the Murray thing. I don't think it's going to happen. I know Sam Bradford is lobbying for it. He admitted that today in his news conference. They were teammates at Oklahoma. He was asked about it. He said, absolutely, I'm lobbying for it. And Murray apparently called Chip Kelly, said he would like to come here. But I don't see it happening because of the money factor. Kelly admitted in his news conference that money was an issue in getting rid of Shady McCoy because it gave them some extra money to spend on other guys, including Byron Maxwell. But DeMarco Murray is coming off a year in which he led the league in running, and he's due for a big payday. So I just don't see the Eagles spending the money on DeMarco Murray. Would I like to have him for his talent? Yeah, sure. But I don't think they're going to spend the money enough to get him in to Eagles camp.
Part of that as well, guys, is the Matthews deal has $5 million guaranteed money.
Yeah, Ryan Matthews, exactly.
But I do know Dallas only offered $5 million, okay? So I don't know. It's going to be a boil down whether Chip really wants him or not, too. That avenue, if he becomes creative in another way, releasing somebody else. At this stage of the game, all the moves and what he's doing, I don't think anybody's safe to say what can happen and what it's not. And that's a perplexing part, all right? If we don't go that route, we definitely didn't upgrade in the running back scenario, all right, even having poked back. Ryan Matthews, we have a mesh in it of what we fired.
Hey, Mark, I'm going to throw a handful of names at you, wide receiver names for you to chew on, and then we're going to have to move on right quick. But chew on these guys. These are on the top of the available list right now, all right? I'm going to give you eight names real quick. Dez Bryant, who's franchised. Demaryius Thomas, who's franchised. Denarius Moore from the Raiders. Michael Crabtree from the 49ers. Kenny Britt of the Rams, Percy Harvin, Darius Bayward-Hay, and Eddie Royal. They are the top available wide receivers on the board right now. And that's being graded by Bill Polian. That's off the Polian grades. That's the order he's got them listed.
Yeah, I don't see them going for a franchise. I may be wrong, but to me that wouldn't be. And so if you're looking at Moore and Crabtree as the next level steps, again, it's dollars and cents to that point.
That's right.
That's what really boils down to this whole thing. All right, guys, listen, keep up the great work. I just wanted to check
in. By the way, Mark, that Norm Snead, Sonny Jurgensen trade was 51 years ago this month, March of 1964. I started watching the Eagles in 65 or 66, so a year or so before or after that trade happened.
I remember the talk about that, believe me. That's
Oh, I could imagine. Didn't work out too well for the Eagles, did it?
No, at that particular era in time, that was big talk. That was pre-talk
radio
show.
Sure it was.
And this is what we're at. To that era, you're talking with Bradford and Foles is to this era, okay?
Yep.
And that equal plane. And very disturbing.
Yep.
Let's just hope and pray we make adjustments that improve us, okay?
All right, thanks.
All right, Mark. Appreciate
the
call.
Guys.
Thanks.
Nice talk to you.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Well, Chet, let's get back to our conversation. Great points by Mark, as always, and we appreciate his call. But, hey, I wanted to ask you, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of Frank Gore of the Philadelphia Eagles?
Oh, man, the memories we have of that era, the Frank Gore era. Boy, that one partial weekend when he was an Eagle, it was so exciting. Almost as exciting as the Andrew Bynum era as a 76er.
Well, one thing about it is Gore didn't take our money.
That's
Bynum
true.
Bynum took
true.
Our money.
Yeah,
but,
that's the big difference.
I wanted to ask you, if it's true, which is being reported, supposedly Frank Gore had a conversation with LeSean McCoy, and that's what changed his mind. What do you think about all that stuff going on with that?
Don't know if it's the truth or not, if that was the deciding factor. But, hey, I wasn't crazy about Frank Gore anyway. I mean, like I said, he's going to be 32. I don't know how much he's got left in the tank. I don't know how he would fit into the fast-paced offense at that advanced age, you know, fast-paced offense that the Eagles are going to run. So maybe it's a blessing in disguise that it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, I like him. I like him. He's a rugged back who can.
He sure is.
You know, he's certainly a north-south kind of guy. No nonsense about him between the tackles. But you know, he is 31, and he certainly would have been a short-term fix. But I think as things are falling out here, we're going to need some short-term fixes. We got too many holes, and I think we have so many capologists nowadays.
Yeah, capologists.
You know, I asked where we stood, and somebody threw the number at 30 million still. I don't know that that's right or not right, but let me ask you this. Does it really matter to you how much they pay these guys?
No, not really. You know, as long as they're spending it wisely, I don't really care exactly, you know, what they do with it. It's just alarming to see the numbers that these guys are getting. But, hey, it is what it is. It's a business. It's big money. And that's just the way it is today. Ryan Matthews, you mentioned, he gets, what, $5.5 million guaranteed. He gets a three-year $11.5 million deal overall. And this is for a guy who hasn't been able to stay on the field in his 5 years in the league. He had a great 2013 season, rushed for 1,255 yards. But I think that's the only year that he's played every game. Last year he played just 6 games. So, boy, we got to keep these guys on the field if they're going to work out for the Birds. I'm going to talk more about that later.
Well, hey, let's talk the big picture, okay? The draft's still a couple months away. We heard Chip Kelly's press conference today. You buying into all that, or is a bunch of coach speak? What's your thinking as we sit here now? We've got these 13 moves, but we still have plenty of time. You think he's in with Bradford, or you think we got a whole lot of more dealing to do?
It sounds like he's in with Bradford, that it's not just a smokescreen. I mean, he said today at the news conference that he's not a chip, you know, for a future deal, that he's the only chip in Philadelphia, Chip Kelly. You know, we may be just hearing some coach speak from Chip. Remember Buddy Ryan saying, no, I'm not going to draft Keith Byers, the guy's hurt. Well, he drafted him, you know. Maybe it's one of those deals. Who knows? But I don't think that's the case here. I think Chip is in with Sam Bradford, for better or worse, unfortunately. A lot of people a week ago were saying, in Chip we trust. Now they're saying, what the hell is Chip doing? And, yeah, that includes me. I mean, a year after we get rid of a Pro Bowl wide receiver in DeSean Jackson, now the Eagles are parting ways with another 1,000-yard receiver, plus their all-time leading rusher in Shady McCoy, not to mention the quarterback, Nick Foles, who I think was primed for a big comeback year after missing the second half of the 2014 season. So, yeah, I'm among those people saying, what the heck is going on? You know, has Chip lost his mind, and maybe it wasn't such a great idea giving him all this power? I know there are still several more moves yet to come, plus, of course, the draft, which is, what, 7 weeks from now. But I'll tell you, for the so far, the initial period, the first part of the new show, Chip in Charge, well, it's left me shaking my head.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I disagree with you on this. I think that all we heard was a bunch of coach speak today. Let's just say this plays out, we add a few more pieces and we work off the free agent market and we don't make a huge splash. We get our 20th pick. Maybe let's just throw out that it's the safety we're looking for. So we have the regular guys and we come in with Bradford, and to be better than 10-6 where we sit right now with just adding average free agents. I don't think we can duplicate 10-6, and I think anything less than that, you know, people are going to want his head. Now, I think where he gets where he can get himself a pass is if he figures out a way to still trade up, still get Mariota. Now he's got some leeway because he's got a rookie quarterback he's trying to break in, and he's got Sanchez there to work with him. I think he buys himself some time. I'm not seeing right now, I don't see any way that they're 10-6 with what we've got right now or anywhere close. Still too many holes.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to take a step back this coming year unless they do a whole lot more between now and September. But as far as Mariota, I just don't see it happening now. If, as we said, it went down like we first thought it was happening yesterday where they're moving up to 10, then yeah, maybe. That was definitely what I was thinking. But as it stands now, I just don't see them having enough in terms of ability, maneuverability to get up high enough to take Mariota, who is going to go in the top. Not just the top five. I think he's going to go in the top three.
Well, I think any deal is possible. It just depends how many number ones you want to throw out there. Or do you want to throw in Bradford and Fletcher Cox, or Bradford and Michael Kendricks, and two number ones and maybe a third number one. I mean, anything is doable. Now, he did say, you know, you're not going to mortgage the franchise for one player. I understand that. Well, we'll see. We'll see, because I don't think this fan base, coming off a 10-6 playoff, followed by a 10-6 should have been the playoff, disappointing miss of the playoffs, to not making the playoffs and being less than 10 wins is not going to be acceptable to this fan base. Just don't see it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, one other thing we got to address from your 13 moves that we graded early on, one that you were pretty adamant about was Brandon Graham. Why are you so much of a hater for Brandon Graham? What's up with that?
Oh, I'm not a hater for anybody, Chip. You know that. Thing with Brandon Graham is he was drafted as a defensive end, which is the position he should be playing. He did not do very well as a defensive end. Now, he got better come year three. Year four, his first year under Chip Kelly, he didn't have a great statistical year. He did play a little better last year as a occasional pass rusher, situational pass rusher, but he is not a NFL stand-up outside linebacker or even an outside linebacker. And if you're going to sign him to be your starter, they paid him a ton of money. He has to be the starter, and he's out of position, just as Trent Cole was. Now, they still get their sacks on occasion, but how many times have we seen, and even with Connor Barwin, who's a great player, have we seen mismatches with running backs and these linebackers trying to chase them down the field? Well, Brandon Graham isn't as good as Connor Barwin ever thought about, or Trent Cole, for that matter, I don't believe. I mean, he's younger, but I just think he's out of position. Wrong place for the guy.
All right. You made it clear you're not a big Brandon Graham fan, but I think he's a guy who's gotten better year after year, even though he's been playing out of position the last two seasons. No, he's not a perfect fit for a 3-4 defense, according to most experts, but I think he's a pretty darn good pass rusher, and he had 5.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles in a part-time role this past season. That's not bad for a guy who's only on the field half the time. And I don't think it was a huge contract he got. I mean, you know, compared to some of the other deals that are out there today. So I was fine with bringing him back rather than a much older Trent Cole. So give Brandon Graham a chance. See what he does as more of a full-time guy next year. And then we'll talk again next year.
Well, and to your stats, as a situational player, he made some plays. Can he do the job full-time? That's my real question, and I don't think so.
Okay.
So, hey, I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, what's your take on the racist comments made by a certain ESPN commentator regarding Chip Kelly? And I'll tell you what, I'm not even going to give this clown the privilege of having his name mentioned on our show. He doesn't deserve that. But then these comments were seconded by Trey Thomas. You got a thought on that?
You know, I didn't look into all the details of what either of those guys said. I can't imagine that there's anything to it. I mean, yeah, okay, so maybe more of the guys who have gone are black, more of the guys who are coming in are white. I don't know. I just can't imagine in this day and age that's going to be a factor. And then there's the whole Riley Cooper thing, though. You know, he's still on the team, whereas DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin are gone for whatever reason. So, I mean, you could see where some of it is coming from, I guess, but maybe I just don't want to believe it, but I just find it hard to believe.
Well, I'm going to give you my take. Haven't been a coach for many years, like I told you, but both on football and baseball, and even at the high school level, so I have to believe at the professional level it's even, you know, I'll go better than at the high school level. I've always taken the approach that I've never coached a white kid, and I've never coached a black kid. I coach kids.
Right, and that's the way it should be.
I coach kids. And I have to believe at the professional level, in a league that's whatever the right percentage is now, 60% black, 70% black, it's crazy. It's crazy to me to have comments made like this. I just find it impossible. Now, maybe he doesn't like the way some of them act, but that doesn't get you on national TV being called a racist in my mind. I am supporting Chip Kelly on this.
I think you have to. I mean, I just can't imagine a big-time coach would have that on his mind. You know, you got to just coach the players and not worry about what their skin color is. That's just crazy.
Absolutely. Well, hey, let's thank our sponsor real quick, and then we'll come back. We'll hit a couple more Eagles things real fast, and then we'll move on from there. Okay, so let's thank our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to www.shopforkisses.org's website, you become connected with over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. Okay, let's get our trivia question out again, Chet, because we have a caller waiting, and we'll get this out there, and maybe they'll answer this as well. This is the win that John Runyon and Trey Thomas signed 8x10 collar photo, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles, to the first person that calls in and correctly answers the question. Okay, as we know, Nick Foles was selected in the third round of the 2012 draft. How many Eagles have thrown passes in his 3 years? That includes Foles. Okay. All right, let's get to our call, Chet, and then we'll get back to some more Eagles. Hello, welcome to the show. Hello, we have you? Well, maybe not. If you can't hear us, give us a call back. They're looking like they're connected, Chet, but I can't hear them.
I hear you.
Okay. Well, hey, Chet, with all this said and done, with all the Eagles stuff, what's where are you? Where are you? You on board or you off board right now?
Definitely not on board right now. Maybe all of this will work, but, you know, who knows at this point? As Ruben Frank and some others have pointed out, more often than not, it doesn't work out when you try to build a contender through free agency. Look what happened to the Eagles in 2011, the dream team, as one of those acquisitions that year. Vince Young called his new team after the Birds, Inc. In addition to him, Nnamdi Asamoah, Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, although I think he actually came in a trade, Jason Babin, Cullen Jenkins, Steve Smith, Ronnie Brown. The Birds started that year 4-8 before winning their final four meaningless games to finish at the 500 mark. So didn't work out 4 years ago. Maybe it'll be different this year. I know they're not done. I know they're going to add some more guys, probably at wide receiver, maybe an offensive lineman. We have the draft coming up at the end of April, beginning of May. But right now I am not on board. I just don't think they're a better team now than they were 2 weeks ago.
I have to agree, but I'm going to take a little different approach here. I'm going to even surprise you, Chet.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to take a wait-and-see attitude. as we sit here right now, I am absolutely flabbergasted of everything that's happened. But I'm going to take the approach to let's see how it plays out between now and the draft, because I think, like I said a little bit ago, I don't see Sam Bradford being our quarterback. Let's see if some more moves are made. He certainly can't go to camp with what he's got now. So let's see how it plays out. I mean, sitting here today, I'm thinking they can't win any games, but let's wait and see.
And by the way, Bill, was I imagining things, or did Chip's nose grow a little bit today when he said, "I get along great with Howie. I'm excited about working with him"?
Absolutely. Coach speak. More coach speak.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, Chad, let's jump over to the Phillies right quick. They got some news. Spring training's up and running, and some bad news already regarding Cliff Lee.
Boy, it sounded more and more like we've seen the last of Cliff Lee, or at least the Cliff Lee that we used to know and love. He may try to pitch through the pain and avoid surgery, but I'm not optimistic. Remember, he came back last year after a good while off, but after a few starts, he was gone again for the rest of the season. So he starts off the spring throwing a couple of scoreless innings, only to come up lame again a few days later. Now, this is unfortunate on a lot of fronts. I mean, first, it's a shame for Cliff, who's a guy that loves to pitch and who's a fan favorite, fun to watch. But it's also a big blow to the Phillies organization in that Lee now has absolutely no trade value. Plus, they still owe him a bunch of money to boot. So that's whether or not he pitches again. So like I said, not a good situation, and just another dagger in what's already looking like a pretty forgettable Phillies season.
Well, what about Cole Hamels? That trade talk starting to heat up a little bit again. The Yankees seem to be pursuing him right now. And, boy, if they don't have Lee and they don't have Hamels, oh, my goodness.
$2 tickets for every game for everybody. Boy, yeah. If Lee is gone and Hamels the only guy and then Hamels gets traded, it's going to be a disaster down there. And what really bothers me is that the Yankees are now the front runners to get Hamels. Boy, I like Cole Hamels, but I just will not be able to root for him if he's with the Bronx Bombers. I don't want to see that. Please, somebody else step up to the plate. Come on.
Yeah, and you know, the Yankees won't care. They'll throw any prospects, anything. They'll do whatever it takes to get him if they think they can get him. I hope not.
Well, if it happens, I hope they have some good prospects.
That's right. Well, hey, on our March 25th show, a couple weeks from now, we'll have to make our official Phil season predictions. And I think you were dead on last year, if I remember right, and I missed by one game. Is that? I'm sure you'll remind me of that if I have that wrong.
You got it right. The Phils were 73-89 each of the last two seasons. And, yeah, at the beginning of last year, I said, you know, I'm going to say the exact same as the previous year, 73-89. So, yeah, I was right on the money. And I'll tell you this much in advance of our March 25th show when we make our official predictions. My predicted win total for this year will not be the same this year as it was the last 2 years. I'm going to leave it at that for now.
Yeah, I'm taking the under on that for sure.
Yeah, I think so.
All right. Well, hey, let's talk Flyers a little bit. They pretty much have played their way out of the playoffs, barring a minor miracle with that I'll say terrible final minute, 2 minute penalty against Wayne Simmonds at Boston that just broke their heart and pretty much eliminated them. But is Craig Berube safe for yet another coaching change in store for the Flyers?
Wow, do we even need to talk about the Flyers anymore? I mean, their faint playoff hopes pretty much evaporated in a span of a few seconds in the middle of the afternoon on Saturday when they gave up that 2-1 lead to the Bruins with 14 seconds left in regulation. Then, of course, they lost the game in overtime. A devastating loss to a team that currently holds the final wild card spot in the East. And they, of course, follow that up with the lackluster effort up in North Jersey on Sunday and then Tuesday night giving up another late goal and losing to the Dallas Stars 2-1 to fall 9 points behind Boston. So, ouch. Back-to-back regulation losses to two teams out of the playoffs, and that, coincidentally, is where the Flyers will be this spring, too. Now, as for Berube, I really think his fate hasn't yet been determined. I think GM Ron Hextall will be monitoring the situation closely over the final month of the season to see just how the Chief handles this sinking ship. And it is certainly something to watch, I think, given the way the Fly guys came out and played in their games on Sunday and Tuesday after the crushing loss on Saturday. So, it's going to be determined, I think, what happens over the next month as far as Berube's future. What do you say about Berube, Bill?
Well, I think he's going to go, and I don't think I'm real happy about that. I mean, they I don't know that they've underachieved. I don't know that they have good enough players. Jake Voracek and Claude Giroux pretty much carried them through the first half or a little more than half of the season. They weren't getting any other scoring. Their defense was a bit suspect. Their goaltending was banged up most of the time. I don't know if Berube really gets a fair shake out of this, but at the end of the day, he didn't make the playoffs. So I think he's probably going to go. I think the Flyers coaching situation is getting comical in that they're changing coaches every 2 years. It seems where you're not going to have enough stability to ever grow anything. So, I'm a little in between on it.
Yeah. I was okay with the deadline trades, though. I mean, giving up a guy who hadn't played all season, getting, a second-round pick. I think that was a steal, giving up, the Teeman deal. And then the other one, too, Braden Coburn, I think that was a good move also. You're giving up a couple of guys, but you're getting some draft picks back, plus a defenseman in the Coburn deal. So I was okay with both of those moves. Not something that was going to help them make the playoffs this year, certainly, but for the long run, I think that was something that was a positive by Ronnie Hextall.
Oh, yeah, I do too. I think they got the better part of both of those deals. And, they gave up two good guys, two good team guys and all that. But those guys were getting long in the tooth as well, and they got some young draft picks for them. And, yeah, I'm okay with that. But I did want to ask you, what was your thoughts on Jeff Reese getting fired in the middle of the season? And the word is that he got it for protecting his player, his goaltender, and his injury situation, and he got sent down the road for it.
Ah, I did not hear the specifics of that. I knew he was gone, but I didn't hear any of the speculation as to why. I guess it's understandable if that's the way it played out. But, yeah, he's a guy that's been there for several years, and Steve Mason seemed to like him quite a bit. So, it's a shame for the guy personally, I guess. But, that's part of the business.
Yeah, and what happened is the day that Zepp started and supposedly Mason was not supposed to play, and they told him he wasn't going to play. And then after the first period, Berube made the move and put Zepp in or Mason in, and they weren't happy about that and went and talked to management and ended up getting out the door real quick.
Oh, well.
Hey, let me, we got a caller real quick. Let's try to grab this before we run out of time. Okay.
Sure. Yep.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's Swit here.
Swit. Good evening.
I logged on to Facebook and just give you guys a shout-out. Said you guys had a good show going tonight, and Chet said you had an opening, so I thought I'd call in for a few minutes. I know you're up against the top of the hour here, so I'll make it quick as possible. So, but
what do you think, Swit?
Where do I even start? quickly on the Eagles and a Flyer point at the end. I mean, the Bradford thing had me scratching my head. I listened to some sports talk radio in the car last night, and there was a lot of speculation going around that they obviously they were going to flip first-round picks, which right off the bat didn't make any sense. When I thought that might be a possibility from the Rams standpoint, but then when I heard that the Eagles had to give up a 2-4, I was just like, what the heck's going on here? You guys are saying you believe Chip Kelly. I mean, to say it nicely, I think this guy's a snake oil salesman, and I think he definitely has interest in Mariota. Now, what's it going to take? I think Mariota drops. I heard you say, Chet, he's a top three pick. I'll disagree with you on that. I think he drops, and I think Cleveland might have a chance to get him. And if he slips, I think Kelly goes up there. And if he doesn't get him, he certainly makes a hearty effort to get him.
I know, Swit, you said he's not a franchise quarterback, but I'll tell you, I'd rather take a shot with Mariota than go to Sam Bradford. That's just the way I feel.
No, I agree with you on that, no doubt. I just think you know, if I would have held on to Foles, I mean, give him another year. But I just don't see the Bradford thing. I really don't. And we could talk about this all night. But like I said, long story short, I think he's going to make a run at Mariota one way or the other. And part of that, again, I think it's because he drops.
Okay. And what's your take on the Flyers and Berube?
I think Berube goes, and not for his fault. I mean, just because they have garbage surrounding him, you know, as far as the player standpoint, the talent standpoint. You know, Berube had an interesting comment, I'm paraphrasing earlier in the season, when he said that the only true scorers on the team are Giroux and Voracek. He said the other guys have to crash the net, hustle, go for rebounds to put in. You know, I mean, when you only have two pure goal scorers on the team, that's not saying a whole lot. Defense has been good throughout the year, I thought. For the most part, goaltending has certainly held up with all the injuries and all. But I think Berube goes. And how about this name for your next Flyer coach? They like to keep it in the family, so to speak. And I'm going to go Rick Tocchet.
Ah. Yeah, he's with Pittsburgh now as an assistant, I believe.
Yeah. Because the thing is, who else is out there? And you know, like I said, Ed Snyder likes to keep it in the family. And I think he's the next one to get the bench.
You know, I'd be okay with that, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Either way, I didn't like Berube as the head coaching choice off the bat. Tocchet has some experience. He was the coach of Tampa Bay several years ago. But, I don't know who else would be out there. I'd really have to dig deep and see who's out there.
All right, Swit.
All right, Swit. Well, we appreciate the call.
I'll let you guys
go.
Great show tonight, guys.
Thanks, Swit.
All right.
Good talking to you.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care.
Well, hey, Chad, our friends at Carl's Cards and Collectibles in Havertown, they're celebrating their 20th anniversary, as you know, and they're doing it with a bang. Still more signings coming. New Flyer Ryan White, who is actually playing very well for the Flyers, will be in the store on March the 26th. How about this one? Flyers Lauren Hart and the voice Lou Nolan on April the 4th, and then jump over to the Eagles with former players Jamal Jackson and Ike Reese on April 11th. Carl does a great job getting his guests in. We hope you can support his efforts. He has a Facebook page, website, so please check him out for all the signings, costs, and details. Chet, any of them interest you?
I actually like the Lauren Hart, Lou Nolan signing event. That's pretty cool. I'm a fan of both of their work. So, yeah. And by the way, at the Barkan Foundation Hearts for Heroes event last Saturday, you know, we had Mike Barnes on 2 weeks ago when you weren't here. Saturday night, I chatted a bit with Carl Henderson's daughter, Lauren, who works with the Hamels Foundation. Nice young lady, which doesn't surprise me, given, you know, who her parents are. So good to chat with Lauren, and I believe she's heading down to Florida to hang out with Carl and company, and maybe you'll even meet up with Carl.
Well, actually, there's a real possibility that I am going to meet up with Carl and his lovely wife, Sue, tomorrow. The Phillies are in Lakeland to play the Tigers, and I am going to try to get over there and see those guys see some of the game if I can, in between some other business I have to take care of, and get to see Carl and Sue, and welcome them to Lakeland. And if I could pull it off, I'm going to try to meet them for dinner as well. So
sounds
looking
good.
Forward to that. Great people, and obviously great Philly fans and great Philadelphia sports fans.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, hey, Chet, parting shots. We've covered an awful lot of ground. What do you have on your mind here to close out the show tonight?
Ah, boy, so much. I was going to rant and rave about the whole Curt Schilling thing, but then I totally forgot about it until right now. But that was crazy last week, Curt Schilling coming out against some of his cyber bullies who were bothering his daughter. That was, you know, something I saw you post on Facebook. That was just a crazy situation. But here's my parting shot. Two key words when talking about all of the latest Eagles moves: if healthy. You're going to hear those words a lot ahead of the 2015 Eagles season, because other than Byron Maxwell, all of the guys brought in by Chip Kelly over the past week seem to have a significant history of injuries. You got Sam Bradford with the two torn ACLs, Kiko Alonso with a torn ACL, D'Amico Ryans still on the team. He'll be back, Chip tells us, but Ryans is coming off a torn Achilles tendon. Running back Ryan Matthews, who they just signed today, has missed a significant time in three of his five seasons with various injuries. Cornerback Walter Thurman, the former Seahawk and New York Giant, played only two games last year thanks to a pectoral injury. So maybe, just maybe, all these moves will pan out, but if so, it will be because, in large part, those players are able to stay on the field and hopefully play up to their potential. Will this guy or that guy work out? Maybe. Remember those two important two words, if healthy.
Well, you know, it's funny that you said that, and obviously, as we said, we don't practice this show, but that was exactly my comment as well, my parting shot. Everybody that they got, no, I mean, everybody that they got is damaged goods.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I don't know how these surgeries now, everybody thinks they're normal, but surgeries are surgeries. But, you know, if you look down the list, Ryan Matthews didn't play last year. Walter Thurman didn't play last year. Sam Bradford didn't play. Kiko Alonso didn't play. I mean, gee whiz. I mean, I guess you could look at it as they're 1 year younger because they didn't
yeah,
play a year
well
of
rested,
contact
exactly.
football. But, I mean, it was exactly my point is we're paying money, and I don't want to get into that whole capology thing because it makes me nuts because I don't care one bit how much they pay any of them. Just find guys that are going to win football games. But, you know, these guys, you're paying them a lot of money to come in here and be starters, and you don't know that they can do it or not. That's it. Just the whole thing just amazed me.
Further evidence, Bill, that great minds think alike.
Oh, I hear you. Hey, I did want to also point out one other thing. Who the winner was? The winner of the week for the Philadelphia Eagles.
The winner of the week. Okay.
How about Howie Roseman? Howie Roseman's name cannot be attached to any of this chaos.
Yeah.
He got a raise.
And how about
he's sitting in the corner office, and he cannot, nobody can say Howie Roseman did this, Howie Roseman did that.
And by the way, did you catch Chip throwing Howie under the bus today on the Marcus Smith pick?
Mm-hmm.
Chip saying he didn't have final say. That was Howie's pick. So.
Yep, I did.
Yeah, but they get
I
along great. They get along great, Chip said.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's he is my winner, certainly, of the week for the Eagles because he's in good company right there. Nobody can bother him. Nobody can blame him.
You got it.
All right. Well, hey, let's get – we're to the top of our hour, so let's get our thank yous in to Carl's Cards and Collectibles for their continued support of the show, Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes, and our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. Chet, we're going to take a week off again next week. Some baseball getting in the way of some things. So we'll be back on March the 26th or 25th, Wednesday, March the 25th. We'll be talking, maybe we'll be talking some more Eagles. We'll see how this thing goes. But we'll be talking Phillies as spring training is coming to an end. We'll make our predictions. We'll see who's on the roster and who's not. And it might look more like a AA or AAA roster, but we'll see.
I can't
all
wait.
Right. I bet. Well, you can listen to our shows through our Facebook page at Philly Press Box Radio or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.